Okay, good. Man, after all that singing tonight, I'd love to preach about heaven tonight, amen? But I'll tell you, those songs had me thinking about heaven. If you're saved, you were probably thinking about heaven. If you have somebody that was saved and went before you and they're in heaven, you're thinking about that. And what a wonderful, wonderful place that is, amen? But tonight, I sense the Lord was leading me in preparation to preach on something else tonight. And so would you, if you have a Bible, would you please turn to James chapter number 4. As Pastor Gilmore said, I use a lot of scripture. By the way, I think that's what needs to be done anyway, right? Timothy was told by Paul to preach the word, amen? If there's anything that's going to help us, it's going to be the word of God, amen? I thank God for stories and other things that enlighten us concerning truth, but mainly we need to hear the wonderful words of life, amen? Especially when you're praying for and you're looking for revival, if you will, revival is going to come from the Bible, amen? In fact, I have a message that I won't preach tonight. It's called Bible Revival, amen? I think that's a catchy title, right? By the way, if we would resurrect our Bibles, maybe our Bibles would resurrect us. Amen? But I'm not really supposed to preach on that tonight, so I want to preach a little bit on something else. James chapter number 4 tonight, for some reason, and I have no idea, and by the way, I don't have to know. As long as it's the Lord's doing, that's all that matters. Amen? I want to preach a little bit tonight from James chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse number 8. I want to talk to you tonight. Verse number 8, James chapter 4, verse number 8, the Bible says this, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight on the thought of drawing nigh to God. Drawing nigh to God. Getting close to the Lord. Amen. Some are far from the Lord. Some are not too far from the Lord, but I'm sure there's probably enough space between you and the Lord and me and the Lord that we could probably close it up a little bit. Amen. And so I want to talk to you tonight. I want to really focus on this. Three things about drawing nigh to God. Three things about drawing nigh to God. Number one, I want to ask or start by this. Why should I draw nigh to God? And by the way, I'm primarily speaking to saved people. Amen. I'm speaking to God's people tonight. Now, if you're not saved, our hope and our prayer is by the end of the message that you will get saved. Amen. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about God's people, amen? Because I really think, by the way, a revival meeting is really for God's people. An evangelistic meeting is really for reaching the lost aggressively, amen? It's the lost don't need to be revived, they need to be saved, amen? It's God's people who need to be revived, amen? And so tonight I want to talk about a drawing nigh to God. Number one, why should we draw nigh to God? Why should you and I as believers, why should we as Christians draw nigh to God? Why should we get close to God? What is the purpose of it? And I think I could wrap it up in one verse, and that is this, Psalm 73 and verse number 28, the Bible says this, what does it say? Let me see, I got it written down here, I don't want to misquote it, but in Psalm 73 and verse number 27, it says this, it is good for me, Asaph said, it is good for me to draw near to God. Amen. Now, if you understand Psalm 73, Psalm 73 was written by Asaph. Asaph was in the music ministry in the tabernacle. You might think he was the choir director, okay? And so Asaph's in the ministry. Asaph's leading the music. Asaph's doing what he's doing for the Lord. But inside Asaph's heart is some trials and struggles and battles that are going on. In fact, a lot of times, by the way, that's what happens to every one of us. And you can be teaching the word, you could be preaching the word, you could be singing, you could be doing Sunday school, you could be serving the Lord outwardly, and yet on the inside there's a battle that's going on for your life. Many times people get away from the Lord and we say, they just got backslid, they're no longer in church, they got away from the Lord. The fact of the matter is, most people get away from the Lord before they get away from the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? They get away from the Lord in their heart before they get away from the Lord in their body. You see, the devil targets the heart. Amen? He works on the heart. I don't care who you are. You could be a preacher of 15,000. The devil, by the way, I believe that leadership is even a bigger target. When you're in the ministry serving the Lord and provoking others to serve the Lord, I believe the devil focuses on you. Amen? And so Asaph might have been serving the Lord and working in the ministry, but in his heart, temptation was raging. If you read Psalm 73, which we're not going to do tonight, he says, I was looking at the world, and I was looking at their life, and I was looking how good they had and how much they had. He said, I began to get envious. And in fact, he said this, if you will. He said that my feet were all almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. You see, his heart was already gone. It all reminds me of what Jesus said about the Pharisees. You draw nigh to me with your mouth and with your lips, but your heart is far from me. And so Asaph said, my heart was in a battle, in a struggle, in a temptation. I'm looking, I'm lusting at the world, my feet were almost gone. I'm so glad that they weren't altogether gone. Amen? Asaph was in that struggle. Asaph was in that trial. By the way, he's not the only one that's ever been there. Some have been there, and their feet were not almost gone. Their feet were totally gone. I think of 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10, how Paul the apostle said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What kind of world was it in the day that Demas forsook the Lord? I don't know that it would be compared with the day that you and I live in, because I'm told in the scriptures that it's getting worse and worse. Amen. And so if you could be a person rubbing elbows with the Apostle Paul, serving the Lord, if you will, and then all of a sudden you're gone because the world has attracted you and distracted you and sucked you in. Amen? Asaph was in a great battle. He was in a rage. He said, I was almost gone. The devil was working on my heart. There was things going on inside of me people didn't know about. There's things going on in the hearts of every one of us that nobody else knows about but you and the Lord. Asaph was tried and Asaph was tempted and Asaph was almost gone. But the wonderful truth we read in Psalm 73 in verse number 17, he said this, until I went into the sanctuary of God. You see, Asaph's condition was critical, but his correction was spiritual. It was in the sanctuary of God where God got a hold of his heart. The Word of God got a hold of his heart. His heart might have been prone to wander. My people, Hosea said, are bent to backsliding. And all of us are prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, lassoed the heart, if you will, of Asaph and drew him back to his senses. And he woke up and said, oh no. They're in a bad place. They're headed for destruction. It's not good to be a part of that. They that go whoring from God will be destroyed. In fact, he said this, it's good for me not to go away from God, but to draw near to God. When you're in the struggles, and you will be, why is it we walk around like we don't have the struggles? Come on now. We act like, no, we're all that in a bag of chips. No, we're all struggling. We're all battling. Amen? What do we do in that battle? Here's what we do. Draw nigh to God. Get close to God. Amen? Why should we draw nigh to God? It's good for me to draw near to God. Let me give you a thought here. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 22, it says this. Let us draw near with a true heart. The writer of Hebrews, which I personally believe to be Paul the Apostle, he told the Hebrew believers, draw near to God. Why would he tell those believers to draw near to God? Listen, they were tempted to go away from the Lord. They were tempted to go back to their old way, to their old lifestyle. They got saved, they got excited, and then in the persecutions, in the troubles, in the trials, in the tribulations, they were tempted to throw in the towel, they were tempted to quit, and the writer is encouraging them, no, hold on to your profession. God can help you. Jesus is alive. He's the high priest. Go to him. There's grace to help you in your time of need. Draw nigh to God. And then in the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 10, and I believe it's verse number 30, he said, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God says, listen, don't draw back when you're tempted to draw back. Draw nigh, draw close when you're tempted. Why? Just when I need him most. Just when I need him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need him most. Amen. When you're beginning to sink, you haven't sunk yet. You're beginning to sink, as the Bible says about Peter. When Peter saw the Lord when he was in the boat, he said, "If it be thou, bid me come." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter began to walk on the water. As long as he was focused on the Lord, he could do it. Got his eyes off the Lord, on the circumstances. He began to sink. He didn't sink all the way. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately the Lord stretched forth his hand and rescued him. When you're beginning to sink, when you're tempted to get away, cry out, "Lord, save me. Lord, help me." Amen? We need to draw nigh. Why should we draw nigh to God? It's the blessed place to be. Close to thee, close to thee. Let me ever walk close to thee. Amen? No doubt about it. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. Amen? That's what we need. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Amen? Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. We get closer to the Lord, not further away. But we all got to be careful. It is very easy to drift and not even realize it. How many of you men, maybe lady too, have ever gone deep sea fishing? You get away from land. You get away from a marker. You think you've anchored. You think you've stopped. You think you're staying still and you're fishing. And then all of a sudden you wake up to find out you are miles from where you thought you were. Drifting. Drifting in this sea of humanity. It's easy for you and I to lose focus and our anchor in Christ and begin to drift away from the Lord and the things of the Lord. In fact, this is the compass right here that tells you whether you're drifting or not. Did they not find a copy of the Word of God in the days of King Josiah? And by the way, it wasn't a lost copy of the Bible. It wasn't the Word of God that was lost. It was the people that were lost. The Word of God was where it should have been. It was in the house of God. Amen? But when they found a copy of the Word of God and they brought it to Josiah and they read it to Josiah, it was then he realized, my goodness, we are far from God. We're in trouble. But Josiah had a tender heart, a receptive heart, a responsive heart. And God said, I'm going to stop that trouble. It's not coming in your day. You've averted something. One man for one land made a big difference. How many times we find God looking for just one man to hold back the tide? Oh, would to God there was one. Amen? Why should we draw nigh to God? Because it's the blessed place to be. It's good for me to draw nigh to God. Another great chapter in the Bible, Psalm 91. In the very first verse of Psalm 91, it says this, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." To abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And by the way, it's believed that Moses wrote this psalm. And it's about the fact that he was close to the tabernacle and the encampment. And he could see the Shekinah glory. He could see the pillar of cloud and the cloud by day. And he could receive the benefits of the light and the heat at night and of the shade in the day. And he was saying, my goodness, how good it is to be close to God. Close to the Almighty. The name Almighty is El Shaddai, the one who meets my every need. Why should I get close to him? Because he's everything we need. Amen. If you read and study Psalm 91, which we can't do tonight, it talks about this. That person that dwells in that shadow and walks that close to God, there's a special protection about that people. There's a special peace about that people. There's a special power about that people. There are special promises to those people. Can I read it? And by the way, I understand it was a wilderness wandering and they needed a unique protection and so on, but the applications for us today are wonderful. Let me read some of the things God said he would do for that man that gets close to him or that woman that gets close to him. In Psalm 91, verse 14 to 16, he said this, "Because he hath set his love upon me." By the way, these are the people that get close to the Lord, the ones that love him. "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him." Now get this next statement. He says, "I'll be with him in trouble." You know, I would like it to say I would keep him from trouble. Can I get a witness to that?
Jesus said this to the disciples and you and I by application. In the world you shall have tribulation, you shall have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. I'm not going to keep you from trouble, but I'll tell you what, you'll know I'm with you when you're in trouble. Daniel, you'll know that I'm there when you're in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you'll know I'm there when you're in that fiery furnace. And there'll be a grace for you when you're in the troubles that you'll know. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. And I know it. Amen. Why? I will deliver him. I will honor him. Now get this. With long life will I satisfy him. And get the last statement. And I'll show him my salvation. Boy, who's going to see the salvation of God? Who? I'm not talking eternal salvation here. I'm talking deliverances. I will show him what I can do. Who is it that's going to see what God can do? Those that are closest. I think we're exercising these things, amen. We talked to you about the closest to Jesus very quickly. Out of all the disciples, crowds of disciples, Jesus chose 12. Out of the 12, he chose 3 to be the closest to Jesus. Those 3 had unique situations. They got to see his person on the Mount of Transfiguration. They got to see who he really was. They also got to see his power when they went in to Jairus' daughter and he raised that young girl from the dead. The closest to Jesus got to see his person and really know him. They got to see his power and really experience what he could do. But here's also, they got to feel his pain because they were in the Garden of Gethsemane with him. You see, we want to see the person and we want to experience the power, but we don't want the pain. Yet Paul the Apostle said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen? The closest to Jesus. He's going to show them what he can do. Let me quote a verse, Psalm 50, 23. Him that ordereth his conversation or lifestyle aright, will I show the salvation of God. If you and I want to see what God can do, we better get close enough. Amen? Why should I get close to God? Because it's good for me to draw near to God. Let me give it a second thought. I want you to turn with me. If you, as a matter of fact, you might even still be there. James chapter number 4. I want to give you a second thought about this. Why to draw nigh to God? Why to draw nigh to God? It's good for me. It's good for me. It's a bad thing to be far from the Lord. Amen. Let me give you a second thought. How should we draw nigh to God? We know why we should do it. But how shall we draw nigh to God? James answers that question in verses 8 to 10. Here's how he tells us to draw nigh to God. According to James 4, 8 to 10, the first thing he mentions in verse number 8, and I want you to look with me if you would, it says this, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Now here it is, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Here's the key, cleanness. How do I get close to God? The key to getting close to God is cleanness. By the way, who is he speaking to in James 4? He's speaking to worldly believers who have become spiritual adulteresses and adulterers. They're friends with the world. He's calling God's people back from the world to himself. And he says, listen, when you come back clean. Clean hands and a pure heart. Clean actions and a clean attitude on the inside. Amen. You're noticing a lot of people leaving the Lord and going out into the world and then they come back to the church and the church simply receives them back and they bring back with them what they picked up out there. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. But by the way, this is happening all over. We're just so glad they're back, but look what they're bringing back. Hey, you can come back, but don't bring it back. You know, Abraham went out to the world. He went to Egypt and he picked up something and he brought it back. Her name was Hagar. Can I get a witness on that? Come back clean. Come back clean. Here's what Psalm 23 says. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Here's the answer. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. How are you going to get close to God? How are you going to get close to God? In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 7:1, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. A few verses goes on to say, because it don't make no sense. Amen? And then it says, wherefore come out from among them, be ye clean, saith the Lord, separate yourselves. And he said this, I will receive you. Hold on a minute. He'll receive you. If you do what? If you separate and come back. He'll receive you. And get this, I'll be a father unto you. And here's what the text says, saith the Lord Almighty. By the way, we read that in Psalm 91, El Shaddai. Hold on a minute. Why do I have to come back to be received by God and to be blessed by God? Because he's not going to bless me out there. When the prodigal son leaves the house and goes to a far country to live his life his way, he's going to reap what he sowed. The father loves him. The father's where he's always been. If the father blessed him out there, he would stay out there. But when he decided to get up and come home, the father forgave him, clothed him, fed him, restored everything to him. Amen? Got to come back clean. Got to come back clean. You see, cleanness is the key to closeness when it comes to God. Amen? When Moses was on the back desert of Midian, he saw a bush that was burning and he turned to see the bush. And out of that bush, the Lord spoke to him. And as Moses began to get close to the bush, here's what the God said, draw not nigh hither. Let me tell you what it said. Don't come any closer. Stop. Don't try to get close to me with those sandals on. Take off your shoes, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. When you wore sandals, you picked up the dust and the dirt of the world and you came before God. You had to clean the feet to come into his presence. That's the essence of the laver, amen? You don't go into somebody's house bringing in the dirt and the mud and tracking it in their house, let alone God's, amen? Joshua chapter 5, the same thing happened with Joshua when we saw a man with a sword and he said, you for us or against us? He said, I'm the captain of heaven's host. And once he realized it, he said, hey, take off your shoe, for the place wherein you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Amen. Let me just say this, folks. It's sin that hinders our closeness. We got this kind of Christianity. I can live any way I want to, and God has to accept it. Listen, let me make this statement. Do not confuse two words. Do not confuse accepted and acceptable. Accepted is a spiritual position we have in Christ. We are accepted in the beloved no matter what we look like. But acceptable is a totally different world. Romans 12:1 says, "Be not, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Amen? Not every Christian's Christianity is acceptable to God, though they think it is. Amen? Let me tell you who thinks their Christianity is acceptable to God. Those that have no idea what the Bible says. You read the Word of God, you understand what is and what is not acceptable. Amen? And I have no idea where these people get the idea that homosexuality is acceptable. They ain't reading the Bible we have. Amen? Sin hinders our closeness to God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Bible says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have, get this, separated. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear you. We need to come back to God, and we need to come clean. Cleanness is a key to coming back. How do we come back? Come back clean. Here's another thought in James chapter number 4. Look at verse number 9, if you would, please. James chapter 4, verse number 9. Not only is cleanness a part of how we come back to God according to James, but I want you to look at verse number 9. The Bible says this, be afflicted, mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to heaviness. Let me put it this way, brokenness. Brokenness. How do we come back to God? We come back in cleanness. We come back in brokenness. You know why God doesn't fix some of us? We're not broken enough. You understand that? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Why are we comforted many times? We're not mourning like we ought to. Amen? We got to come back in brokenness. How do you get close to God in brokenness? Well, let me quote it for you. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that it be of a contrite spirit. After David sinned with Bathsheba, had Uriah and several other men killed, after he lied and cover up and everything else, he still didn't get right with God. Somebody had to go tell him he needed to get right with God. His name was Nathan. Nathan said, "You're the man, wake up." And it was then he woke up and said, "I've sinned." In his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51:17, here's what David said: the sacrifices of God. What does God want from a sinful saint who wants to come back? He don't want thousands of offerings and sacrifice. What does he want? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. You see, Psalm 147, verse 3 says this: He healeth the broken in heart, and he bindeth up their wounds. Let me quote another verse for you, Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the Lord, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He said, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the heart of the contrite one. Who is it that's going to get close to God and get revived and restored again? Those that come in brokenness. We need to come in cleanness. We need to come in brokenness. And here's another one for you. And look at, if you would please, in chapter number 4. Look at verse number 10. Chapter 4, verse number 10 of James. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We need to come in submissiveness. How are we going to get close to God? Cleanness, brokenness, submissiveness. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. You know what keeps us from being humble, folks? Pride. Yes, sir. God resists the prideful, but he gives grace and help to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God, and he'll lift you up. Amen. By the way, everything I said about how to get back to God, how to draw nigh to God, is the essence of repentance. It's the essence of repentance. It's the essence of 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I heard preached earlier this week. Dr. Fredena preached it, didn't he? I saw it on YouTube. I hope it was this week, unless it was last year. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face, and get this, turn from their wicked ways. You see, we don't turn from our sin. We ain't getting close to God. Because we ain't going to bring that into his presence, and it ain't going to be acceptable. As much as people tell people, oh yeah, come, you know, hey, by the way, when you come to get saved, come as you are, just as you are, amen? But don't try to get right with God while you're maintaining your sinful lifestyle. It just ain't going to happen. Why should I draw nigh to God? It's good for me to draw nigh to God. How should I draw nigh to God? Let's draw nigh in cleanness and brokenness, submissiveness. Let me give you the last thought. And I think I'm doing pretty good tonight on timing. Let me give you the last thought. The question is this: when should I draw nigh to God? When should I draw nigh to God? And I think the answer is real plain and real simple. It's found in Isaiah 1:18. Listen to this. Come now. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. You know, I believe the implication is this. We hear God speak to us, and we do not respond. Our hearts get harder and harder and harder. Let me quote a psalm for you, Psalm 119, 59 and 60. Listen to this. I thought on my ways. And by the way, that's a good thing to do. In fact, let me give you the Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of your feet. and let all your ways be established. Let me give you the Haggai 1, 5, and 7. Consider your ways. Amen. Here's what the psalmist said. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. Consider and think about your life. In fact, ask God to help you. Search me, O God. Try me. Know me. See if there's any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. Amen? The psalmist said, I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I got back in line with the word of God. Now get the next statement. I made haste. I delayed not. When is it time to draw nigh to God? When God speaks to you. When God speaks to you. Now's the time. Now's the time. If you have a Bible, would you turn to Romans chapter 13? I'm almost done. Hang in there. Now's the time, folks. You say, why is now the time? Because you don't have any other time but now. Amen. If God is speaking to your heart, if God is dealing with your heart about anything, and by the way, He ought to be speaking and dealing with all our hearts about something. The only people that God ain't speaking to about their great need right now are those that are in heaven with Him. Can I get a witness on that? But you and I that are saved, we all got whatever we got going on, and God is working on us. Romans chapter 13, I want you to look with me beginning in verse number 11. Listen, now's the time, folks. Now's the time. Now's the time. If God's doing something in your heart, now's the time. I don't know if this is correct or not, but I heard the song Fanny Crosby, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. I heard that it was a story written by her. She was supposedly at a meeting, a church meeting, and obviously she couldn't see, but the preaching was going on, supposedly, and she could hear people around her responding, maybe amening, I don't know. She knew that people were being moved. But she didn't sense anything. And her song was, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. If God shows up and God's working on hearts, I want Him to work on me. Amen. Amen? I heard one preacher say at the end of the service, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come down and speak to Him? And then he said this, if God didn't speak to your heart, man, you need to come down. Amen. If you're that hard and that hard of hearing, then you need to respond. Romans 13, look at verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. You know what that's saying? It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. He goes on to say, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And that's talking about the Lord's coming. It's time for God's people to wake up. It's time for God's people to look up. Amen. We got to look up and look for the Lord's coming. Amen? And then in verse number 12, he goes on to say, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And the essence of this is dressing. Let's dress up. Dress up, spiritually speaking, as Christians. Amen? Dress for the occasion in this world. It's not a playground, it's a battleground. In fact, we've been told what to dress up on, the armor, amen? Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, which is immorality and strife and envying. Let's dress up. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be Christ-like. And then he goes on to say, and make not provisions for the flesh. By the way, that's the essence of shut up. Shut up the opportunities for your flesh. Amen? Hey, give no place to the devil. You've heard that before, right? Give no place to your flesh. You might have to turn off a program. You might have to turn off a radio station. Amen. It's time. Let me tell you what Hosea said to the backslidden people of Israel. Hosea 10:12. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Why should we draw nigh to God? It's good for us. How are we going to get nigh to God? Cleanness, brokenness, submissiveness. When should we get nigh to God? Let's get nigh now. Whatever gap might be between you and the Lord, let's close it up. Amen? Let's close it up. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Let's keep the way clear. Let nothing between. Amen? I close this thought. My main focus tonight has been on we that are saved, we that are people of God. Amen? But let me close by saying this. If you're not saved tonight or you're not sure you're saved tonight, listen, it's time. Amen. It's time. 2 Corinthians 6, verse number 2 says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If God is working on your heart tonight, let's respectfully respond to what God is doing. Amen? I quote again, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Amen? Let's pray as the preacher makes his way. Father, thank You for the Word tonight. Thank You for Your Spirit tonight. Father in heaven, we all got something going on in our hearts and in our lives. There's no doubt about it, because we're all in sinful bodies with sinful hearts. Whatever it is, Lord, that You're dealing with, oh, may we respond to You and react to what You're doing. Lord, we may be close, but I think we could all say we could be closer. God, help us. Draw us closer to Thee, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.